back. This is Michael Tusky on Who's Talking, joined by Habo and Frank Maloney. Coming up, we'll have head wrestling coach Steve Garland and Chris Wright of thesaber.com. In the meantime, Frank's going to remind you about our contest we have running on Facebook for the big game this weekend.
All right, so the trick here is go on Facebook, search for Who's Talking, become a fan, and then make an entry with your prediction of who the game winner is for this Saturday's UVA-Virginia Tech game. Give us the final score and also your prediction of who the MVP of the game will be. We have incredible prizes. We've got a dinner for two at La Mera Restaurant. We have got, what else, Habo? We've got the UVA bookstore gift certificate. We've got the
potentially some basketball tickets.
We've got a Hohner harmonica so you can play some tunes. What else have we got?
Gave one of those to my father-in-law the other day, and he really appreciated that.
Several people that picked him up at the sponsor party have raved about the Hohner harmonicas. And you thought it was kind of a silly gift, and now everybody loves their Hohner harmonica.
I mean, we have a waiting list now to get these things.
People just got to have one. All right, so let's talk about Steve Garland. Great guy. He's a UVA graduate. He wrestled at UVA, and I believe he graduated in 2000. He is the head coach now, has been for a number of years. He's gotten the team ranked in the last few years. Some amazing things coming up. Let's see here.
The big match on Sunday at JPJ. I think we got him on the line now. No, we don't. We're still talking here.
All right, so UVA has three ranked wrestlers this week. Virginia Tech has four, so this is going to be an outstanding clash. This wrestling dual meet will occur, believe it or not, at JPJ. This is the first time there's ever been a dual meet at JPJ. We had the ACC championship there last year.
Last year, right.
But this is the first time two teams have ever squared off in a wrestling match. UVA is 2-0 this year in dual meets. And let's see what else.
Sometimes I worry that some of the basketball games are wrestling matches in JPJ, but that's a story for another day.
We're not going to talk about that now. It's not basketball. Prior to the match, there will be a clinic for all you wrestlers at JPJ, and that'll be put on by the UVA coaches. And if you don't take advantage of that, you're crazy, because I'm certain that that will be a fabulous experience to listen firsthand to some guys that really know their stuff. All right, I think we have Coach Garland, don't we? Steve, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Oh, it's a miracle. I know they had to pull you out of the lunch line or dinner line tonight. We're getting excited for the big football game, but we also know that UVA is squaring off against Virginia Tech at John Paul Jones Arena this Sunday. Do you want to tell everybody a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. It's unprecedented. As you mentioned, this is the first time we've ever had a dual meet event in the JPJ. And people have been asking me all week why that was important. Anybody that's been inside the John Paul Jones Arena would be able to answer that. It's just it's a chance to wrestle in what I think is the most beautiful arena I've ever seen, and a chance to get my guys the opportunity to feel like big shots, to feel like they're important, to feel like they matter. And it was really big for our program. We feel like we've made a lot of steps forward in the last few years. Finishing, you know, top 15 in the country at nationals and winning ACCs in 2010 and we had two All-Americans last year. So we've progressed, and this is sort of the next step. All the best teams in the country, their dual meets, their biggest dual meets are events. They're not just a wrestling match. They're more of an event atmosphere where people are entertained. And in order for us to get fans long-term, we felt like this was an absolute necessity.
Coach, this is Habo. Tell us a little bit about the team this year. I know you had the ACC Wrestler of the Week this week, designated by the conference office, but just tell us about your squad and what you anticipate for this season.
Sure, yeah, definitely. Our team is preseason ranked 17th in one poll and 23rd in another poll. We've got a great group of guys right now competing for us. We're redshirting three former starters, three guys, one of which is an All-American, Derek Villeney. Another kid at 33, Joe Spisak, who was a national qualifier for us last year, helped us win a lot of big duels last year. And Stephen Doty, who was 28-8 for us last year and wrestled three different weight classes for us and was successful at all three weights. He's redshirted as well. So I think on paper, people might think we're thinner than we normally would be, but the guys we have filling in those spots we think are great, too. So sort of the highlight to the team, our 25-pounder, Matt Schneider, is ranked sixth in the country. Our 33-pounder is probably the coolest story I've ever been around in 12 years as a Division I coach. His name's Matt Nelson. He was told by doctors that he'd never wrestle again. He had concussion syndrome and started his senior year in high school, missed 4 years, and now he's back, and he's 10-2 and almost beat a top 20-ranked kid. He lost 5-4 last week up at Cornell. So he's right there. We're really excited for him. We got his twin brother, Nick Nelson, wrestling at 141, who's also nationally ranked, who's been a match away from being an All-American. So he's been at the biggest stage before, and he knows how to win. And, you know, it goes on from there. And the young man you mentioned who won ACC Wrestler of the Week is Ryan Malo. Ryan's a transfer from Williams College. And people are asking me all week via text, a lot of people in the wrestling world, who he is. It's kind of funny. He's not a nobody. He's a three-time Division III All-American.
Wow.
That transferred in, and now he's getting his master's degree in education at the Curry School. So he's certainly won a lot of big matches in his day, and he's really feeling good about himself. Wrestling's all about confidence, and he's really confident right now, so he's wrestling well.
All right, so not to dial the controls backwards just a step, but you know, you had a lot of terrific wrestlers in the program that you built up in the last 5 or 6 years, including, was it Heinrich?
Did I say that? Heinrich, yeah.
Heinrich,
yep.
Who was one of the greatest wrestlers of Virginia, if not the greatest wrestler Virginia ever had. How do you build this team, and who's really the star of the team, the leader of the team, maybe the emotional leader of this team?
Well, that's a great question. It was really hard losing Heinrich. Heinrich was a three-time All-American. Anybody knows anything about wrestling, that is darn hard to do. So, one of the best leaders on our team, the guy who's the spiritual vocal leader, is Derek Valeni, who was an All-American for us last year as well. And even though Derek's redshirting, he's the point guard of our team. He's the guy that really, really controls a lot of things in our room. And he's like a joker. I think he's another coach. I always joke how he's going to be on staff someday soon. And he just really is a guy that watches out for the younger kids. He watches out for guys that are redshirting. He helps Nick Nelson, drilling and going live with him. He builds up his teammates in the room. So he's a fantastic leader. And then we've got some other guys who lead by example. A guy like John Fauzi, for example, who's our 184-pounder, who's ranked as high as 14th in the country. Total stud. He's only a sophomore, but he's very good. You know, this guy just comes in, gets a 3.8 GPA, lives his life right, doesn't say a whole lot in the room, but he's always in there working as hard as he can, always doing action with the coaching staff. So he's more of the quiet sort of lead-by-example guy, and Derek's a lot more in your face. I mean, Derek's the guy that if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, he's going to call you out on it, and I think that's a great, great asset in our room.
We're talking with Coach Steve Garland, the UVA head wrestling coach. Steve, give us sort of an outlook for the Virginia season ahead. You know, it's we're just getting started, basically. I mean, you've only had two dual matches, and now I guess you've already had the NC State match, haven't you?
We had two tournaments.
And then Cornell, right.
Yeah.
So you've got four under your belt.
Yeah, we've had two tournaments, so we've got a lot of matches under our belt, which is nice. But as you mentioned, it is still early. It's very early. And that's one of the cool things about this dual meet is that it's a great way right now for both programs to see where they're at, to see what they need to work on, because really at the end of the day in our sport, it's very unique. The only thing that really matters is March, and that's the NCAA tournament. That's what we're judged on. How many All-Americans did you have? What place did you finish at Nationals? You know, who'd you place ahead of in conference at Nationals? That's in the wrestling world, at least, that's what matters. So we're trying to use the beginning stages, and particularly this duel, is to really pinpoint exactly where we need to go, who needs to get better where, and then work on it the rest of the year. So that by the way, when we get to ACCs, we want to peak and win that tournament and then walk into Nationals and get as many All-Americans as we can. And that's really the goal for us. We view the regular season as a means to an end, and really just preparation for these guys to reach their dream, which is the national tournament.
Well, it's interesting. I looked on the schedule here, and UVA has got a long way to go before March the 3rd, and the ACC championships are down at Chapel Hill this coming year. How do you feel the ACC is set up this year, and do you anticipate that Virginia can win the ACC this year, or is this a year that we're rebuilding a little bit?
Well, it's a good question. I think Well, first of all, the ACC is loaded again with talent. I mean, I think since I've been here, this is my sixth season as head coach. It's the deepest and best I've seen it. Virginia Tech is, they've got great guys loaded top to bottom, 25 to heavyweight. I mean, they've got phenomenal kids. They've got, I think, three or four guys ranked in the top 10. So they've got a great team coming back. I would believe on paper, them and Maryland would be the favorites. Maryland, again, comes back with two All-Americans in their lineup and another solid team. But we're always so close with those guys. I mean, last year, our match with Maryland came down to the last match, came down to heavyweight. And we got beat there by a kid who was eventually an All-American. So no shame in that. Same thing with Tech. We've had 16-15 matches. It just always seems like it's right down the wire. So maybe on paper we're not picked to do what we've done in the past, but I think that's pretty cool for us. I think hopefully that takes the pressure off our guys. That's usually when we wrestle our best. We wrestle well when we're underdogs and somehow find a way to blow when we're favored. So hopefully our guys will look at that as a credible opportunity. And then, the rest of the conference, you've got kids from Duke that are a lot tougher than they've been in the past. You've got NC State, which has a couple of great guys, and you got North Carolina, who brought in a top five ranked recruiting class last year. So they've got some really good young kids specifically. So I think it's going to be a war down there in Chapel Hill. I think it's definitely going to be one of the tougher tournaments I've been a part of.
Coach, we wish you good luck on Sunday. Good luck through the season, and we'll check back in with you as the season progresses. But thanks for joining us tonight for a few minutes.
Oh, sure thing. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Take care, Steve.
All right, Coach Steve Garland, the head wrestling coach at the University of Virginia, and I think we're going to try to get Chris Wright on the line here shortly to get back to football.
Back to football. And any callers that are out there, you listeners, you can call in to 345-0910.
I think we got Chris on the phone right now. Chris, of course, the editor of the Saber. Chris, are you with us?
I'm with you. How you doing?
All right. Well, let's get back to football here. Break down the game on Saturday. What does Virginia need to do to win?
Yeah, their formula has been pretty similar every week. So they have to run the ball well because that sets up play action. And that's something that Rocco is very good at. It's something that Coach Lazor likes to use to create mismatches all around the field with different guys, whether that's Tim Smith deep or Perry Jones on a linebacker or Chris Bird over the middle, whatever it is, play action sets all of that up. And then on the flip side, they've been very, very good against the run on defense. And I know you could say that every week against football, against anybody. Run the football well, stop the run, you'll have a chance to win. But in Virginia's case, that's pretty much been their formula all year long.
All right, so Chris, you saw that Florida State was very deceptive in the way they disguised their run blitz. They were massing men towards the 2 to 3 yards off the line of scrimmage late in the snap count, and it caught Virginia a situation where there were not enough blockers to handle the defenders. Don't you think Virginia Tech is going to do the same thing? And in that situation, don't you think Lazor is going to try to outguess them or outfox Bud Foster and throw maybe on first and second down and catch Tech moving forward and run right past him?
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. You know, Florida State, Virginia Tech, and Virginia are the three top-ranked defenses in the ACC. So they're going to do some things to cause problems for you. Florida State had some delayed blitzes and stuff. Virginia Tech will do the similar thing. One thing Coach Lazor does week to week, though, is he mixes up, what he's calling on a down. Just because it's first down doesn't mean it'll be run. He may pass. He may show you a run formation and then pass out of it or vice versa. He does a lot of things that he tries to keep the other team off balance. Now sometimes it doesn't work, but he definitely has that in mind, and I think this week will be similar with Bud Foster.
All right, I think we got a caller on line two. Jay, go ahead and ask your question of Frank, me, or Chris Wright of the Saber.
Yeah, I had a question for Chris. Just want to get his opinion, then I'll ask a question and then hang up. It seems like this Logan Thomas kid for Virginia Tech, he may have the most rushing touchdowns. I think he may even have more than Wilson. But it seems like, I mean, that kid goes running north and south. Nobody seems to be able to stop him. I wanted to see what your answer was. You know, how do you stop him? And how do you think special teams is going to play into it? Thanks.
You know, those are two great questions. The last one, special teams, I've been thinking about all day because neither team has been very good on special teams all year long. Virginia Tech, actually, for one of the first years in a long time, just isn't doing very well on special teams, and obviously Virginia is struggling. So that hidden yards, a blocked punt, a big return, anything like that could play in huge. Logan Thomas, no one else has really figured out how to stop him. You know, that Georgia Tech game keeps flashing in my mind where they call a quarterback sneak and he gets 6 yards out of it. So I think what you have to do is you have to pinch the pocket in and try to make him an outside runner instead of a straight-ahead runner. Now, that's not an easy thing to do, but I think if you can get him to bounce outside instead of getting right in between the guard and the center, you'll have a better chance of reducing the amount of yards he can get. Virginia did okay with E.J. Manuel last week. He's a big quarterback, too. They don't design run him as much as Virginia Tech does with Logan Thomas, but that's at least encouraging that Virginia did okay with E.J. Manuel.
All right, Chris, I think his second part of this question we were eventually going to allude to is the special teams. Clearly, Virginia's got to do a better job with kickoffs. That ball has got to get higher in the air and closer to the goal line. Can't be a line drive. And the other thing is air rugby punts. On two occasions, it looked like Florida State was going to block those punts. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, the rugby punt looked a little nervous last week. I thought it did look like Florida State was getting close to it. Virginia does punt both ways, though. It's a game-to-game, week-to-week thing. So I'm not sure we'll see the rugby punt this week because there's no one on Virginia Tech side who's quite as dangerous as Greg Reed. So you may see the regular punting style. Of course, the regular punting style got blocked against Idaho. The good news is that the only kick that Howell has had blocked his entire career. So even though he's a little slow and it's always really, really close, he always seems to get it off. But hopefully they get that figured out this week, as well as punt returns. You know, even with Perry Jones back there last week, fielding the ball inside the 10, he did three times, I think, where he tried to field the ball inside the 10. So they've got to get that figured out, too.
Well, we had Antonio Race earlier, and he mentioned turnovers, and that's always a key against Virginia Tech. You just can't turn the ball over and let them score with their defense.
Yeah, no, that's huge. You know, Rocco, I think in this last, you know, six games, I think it is 10 touchdown passes and 2 interceptions. So that's the trend that needs to keep going against Virginia Tech. And then they got to hold on to the ball and not fumble it, too. On the flip side, David Wilson's been having some fumble troubles, too. So it goes the same way. You know, the Hokies don't want to turn the ball over and give Virginia a short field either. So that could be a pretty big category.
All right, last question. Then we've got to jump to our last break before the final segment. Chris, it seems to me in this game there's been a lot of talk about who gets off first and gets some momentum right out of the gate. All the Hokies that I'm aware of and are vocal have been talking about how we always get a slow start. And if they get a slow start this week, don't you think Virginia has the type of offense and defense that can play better with the lead? And wouldn't you see us being able to hold on in that situation?
Virginia definitely plays better with the lead. There's no question about it. And that's been a big key to their success all year. You know, they've only given up 10 points in the first quarter through 11 games. That leads the country. So they've definitely come out of the gates very well defensively every week. And if that's something they can do again this week and keep Virginia Tech off the scoreboard or at least keep them maybe to a field goal in the first quarter, get a lead, it gives them a chance to dictate the game and dictate the clock and run the ball and all those kind of things. So I think you're right that if Virginia can play well in the first quarter, it does set up better for them than playing from behind.
Chris, we thank you for joining us as always. We'll have you back on soon to talk a little basketball, but we'll see you at the game on Saturday, and hopefully we'll all enjoy what happens on the field. But appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, and hopefully it's a good Saturday.
All right. We'll be back after these messages with a short final segment. Stay with us.